You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Carlin vs. Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio.
I was minding my own business prepping for something else, and Shannon came up and was like, what's something really embarrassing that happened to you while playing sports? Your boy is the starting quarterback senior year of his high school football team in Eastern Pennsylvania. We're having a hell of a year. We find ourselves in the finals. We absolutely smoke him in an all-time performance. One thing, your boy wasn't really needed. Final stat line from the quarterback position, one completion on four attempts, 4 yards, and an interception.
QBR sucked.
Attaboy.
QBR. QBR is like in the negative there. Thank you, Chad. Like, I got to look at that medal and I think to myself, I didn't do anything to help anybody in this game.
Game manager, Joe Fortenbaugh.
That's an insult to game managers. Like, normally, game manager is an insult to good quarterbacks. This performance is an insult to game managers. It's like, no. We do way more than this guy did.
What were the final stats for the year? Because I know you got to know them off the top of your head.
I do not. I set the school single season record for both passing yards and touchdowns. Had a good year, but it's not like the numbers were that prolific. This was 1998, and it wasn't an offense that threw a ton. But we threw enough. We were a pretty good football team. Lost in the state semifinals, 4A Pennsylvania, 1998.
Do the records still stand?
They do not, no. They have gotten much more prolific offensively. That record has probably been broken 5 to 10 time since.
That's disappointing.
Well, it does, however, hang on a banner in the gymnasium, a list of all the, like, certain threshold for passers, 1,000+ yards or whatever it may have been.
Back so you then. Got a gymnasium banner with your name on it.
Name's up there. It's up there with the other quarterbacks who have crossed that threshold.
Right.
But it's up okay. there.
Okay.
Much That's... to the chagrin of several teachers who weren't too fond of your boy.
I find and that shocking.
That was mostly my fault. I want to be very clear about that.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. Joseph, let us get ourselves a little tournament update. Hit it!
NCAA tournament update.
Mississippi State, Michigan State, Duquesne, BYU, Akron, Creighton, all going on as we speak. What do we got score-wise,
my friend? We also just got a tip-off in Arizona, Long Beach State. So we've got action across the board. Michigan State 66, Mississippi State 54-22 to go. You've got Duquesne 43, BYU 30, and a shocker, BYU a 9.5-point favorite there. 18 minutes to go in that game. Arizona, Long Beach State 0-0, 1 minute in. I do not have the Creighton-Akron score in front of me, but I know it's tight. Akron's been playing them very tough.
I have got that right here. They are in a timeout. It is tied at 31 with 5:38 left first half.
There we go.
Tied at 31. And that number, that Michigan State, Mississippi State threshold that we are attempting to climb over is 130, and we currently sit at 116. Accurate?
Accurate, and we just missed a jumper. We missed a three. We got a rebound. We missed the putback, too. The Mississippi State's offense is putrid. I'd rather throw up multiple times in a row than continue to watch them play offense. Their offense is awful. I don't know why I bet the over.
Well,
numbers suggested there was something to it.
Well, you don't think you're going to get home here? You got time?
Not if everyone keeps talking like that.
All right.
We're at the point now where we don't talk about it. All right. Is this your first day at the office here?
All right. My desk is wood. I am not.
Yeah, let's just let that game go. No more updates on that game until certain things happen. There's 4:07 to go. It's going to be a sweat here.
Speaking of Long Beach State, Evan just put this on the screen, and he cannot be being serious when he did this. You know the story of Dan Munson, who is their head coach, who was fired before the tournament, but he's finishing out the season. But fired before his conference tournament. Long Beach State wins their conference tournament. They go to the NCAA. Their AD, Bobby Smitherin, said that he fired Dan Munson because he, quote, wanted to inspire the team. My belief and hope is that by doing what I did and the timing of it, they would play inspired, and that's what they did. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but it worked. He was fired last Monday, a week ago Monday, on the heels of a 5-game losing streak, but he's coaching the rest of the season. So does that mean Munson's going to be back? Evan, like, Evan, he could not have been saying this in a serious tone. There's no way he
I
was.
Love the, I'm not trying to pat on myself on the back, but it worked.
Do you know how big of an ass you need to be to say that out loud? Like, you can think that in your head, which
even
is still,
if you're joking,
like,
that's
wildly,
not funny.
Wildly self-absorbed to even think that in your head. But the level of assness that you have to be to think to yourself, we're going to fire this guy, we're going to have him coach out the year, and then when he and the players go out there and achieve something, you're going to slide in and try to take credit for their work. Number one, you had nothing to do with anything. It's the players and it's the coaches. Stop trying to slide in and grab credit for it. Number two, this is clearly an individual who is very insecure because they've gone on this run and everyone's talking about how ridiculous it is that a fired coach won his conference tournament and got into the dance. You don't fire coaches for winning conference tournaments and getting into the dance. They fired him early. They got in. So now he's trying to make it sound like, no, no, this was actually smart. You're all idiots. You don't see the big picture. I'm smarter than all of you. Now let me explain it to you. Meanwhile, all of us are like, yeah, you're kind of an ass because you're saying it out loud. Say that in your head. Say it to your wife. She'll pretend like she cares, but she probably won't, and she also won't buy into it. But the idea to throw that out there and try to grab credit for what the kids and the coaching staff have accomplished, think about what that says about that individual, what he needs to think of himself to say that out loud into a microphone.
I think it's absolutely genius.
Why?
How many times do you fire a coach and let him coach? Coach out the season. Usually when you fire a coach, he doesn't get back on the court. You have the assistant coach be the interim coach. He let him still be the coach there, so he was still able to put the wisdom and the knowledge into the players while they think he's fired, not fired, and then they win the tournament. I think we got to give this guy some credit here. Ingenuity.
The AD. You like the AD?
The AD.
Okay.
You know, someone's got to have the cojones to do it, and he did it.
Let me tell you something.
What do you do if he keeps winning? Do you keep him?
Well,
no, he's fired. He got to be gone by the end of the season.
So he's gone no matter what. So he wins the whole thing. Long Beach State wins the whole thing.
They beat Arizona today.
The AD.
They beat Arizona today by 30. The team goes on a miracle run. He's still fired.
Handman says, you're out. Doesn't matter.
The AD loses me if he still has his job next season, even if they win this whole tournament.
Okay, here's what I would do. If I was the president of Long Beach State, the second I read that quote, I'd fire the athletic director. You know, I'm sorry. No, jackass.
Why, are you going to motivate him? You're going to motivate him do it with other sports?
I'm trying to motivate my other coaches and my other sports, exactly. Then I can come forward and take credit for that. No, if my athletic director is dumb enough to say something like that and actually mean it, I don't want you as my athletic director. Like, if you are that stupid, Joe, the most dangerous combination in this country, anywhere, stupidity and arrogance, that is that combination that exists right there. That is an arrogant jackass who is remarkably stupid to say something like that. Even if he was joking in saying it, that's absolutely dumb. I would fire him. I'm not this guy normally. I would fire him immediately.
Yeah, but how are you going to fire him without a lawsuit? What are you going to, on the grounds of what? A dumb comment?
I didn't say I'm not going to pay him out of his contract, whatever that is.
Oh, so you buy the whole contract out?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, the athletic director at Long Beach State is not making $2 million a year. You know? We should be able to swing that. You don't deserve to be my AD anymore if you're going to say something like that.
Well, I mean, do we believe it? Is it possible? Handman believes it.
No.
The comment, too, Evan, to your point, the gold of this is the, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. No, that's exactly what you're doing. You're going out of your way to make sure you get credit here. You want credit. The kids won the games. The coaches coached the kids. And you want to make sure somehow you are going to get some of that credit. You had nothing to do with anything, but the whole, look, no disrespect, but I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, you know, but it did work. That's patting yourself on the back.
You guys slip up, firing handman, taking all the credit when you guys get better.
Okay.
I mean, it says a lot about the coach, too, to still keep coaching.
Yeah.
Like, if you knew that you, at the end of, like, a book or whatever like that, weren't going to be, would you still be hosting the show?
Well, normally, like, you don't even have that conversation. Like, you fire him and the guy moves on. Like, firings are done a very specific way. It's not like, hey, man, you're out. Keep working, but you're out. Normally, it's, no, but I love the fact that he kept coaching and he did a hell of a job. The great thing here is that coach will probably have an opportunity that comes up because of this. Because that's someone who showed resilience. It's someone who showed professionalism. It's someone who faced adversity and didn't act like a baby or a petulant child. It's someone who was staring adversity in the face and decided, you know what? I'm going to make the best of this situation. And he got great results. And the most important thing, he didn't let those kids down. Like, he was still there for them. We forget about this sometimes because we talk about NIL with star players and all the money they make. The Long Beach kids aren't getting $2 million a year. Like, there are probably seniors on that team. This is the end of their basketball career. And rather than the coach walking off and everyone packing it in and that's the end of your collegiate basketball career, possibly your basketball career forever, your coach bought in. Everyone continued to buy in and work hard, and you got a great result. That's the real story from this. There are other morons that will say things that become headlines like this AD, but the real story here is the people who could have gone one way, chose to go a different way, and got a great result. That's an inspiring story.
Yeah, I agree with everything that you just said, and I'm sorry, this guy, that would just rub me the wrong way immediately. Like, I can't have you continue to be my AD if you're going to do that. You're going to make sure to take the credit in this? Come on.
Well, he's clearly, there's all the trash everyone's talking. Like, everyone is looking at him like he's a fool. So he's trying to clear it up, and it just looks so bad.
It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. One of Caleb Williams' future teammates has issued a stern warning. And it seems an odd thing to do, especially with the timing. It's next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
Two games coming up later today, similar handicaps. We're going to play Nevada -1 over Dayton. We're going to play Samford +7 over Kansas. Both games are taking place in Salt Lake City. Elevation, just north of 4,200 feet. In the case of Nevada, this is great news. Nevada's home games are played in Reno, elevation just north of 3,000 feet. They've got a deep bench, and they're a pretty balanced basketball team facing a Dayton team that not only is injured, but they basically only have a six-man rotation. So you're going to play at altitude with only six guys. That's going to be a challenge late in the second half. Nevada minus one over Dayton. We're also going to take Samford plus seven over Kansas for similar reasons. Also in Salt Lake City, Kansas doesn't have a bench they can bank on. Kevin McCullough, star player, out for this game. Kansas hasn't been very good on the road. Samford plays up-tempo, they play aggressive, and they have a deep bench. Pizza Money's 1-2. Nevada minus one over Dayton, Samford plus seven over Kansas.
The NFL Draft on ESPN Radio.
It's time to have some fun.
Live from the heart of downtown Detroit.
This is the most fascinating NFL draft I've ever been associated with.
The Chicago Bears select
the NFL Draft, Thursday, April 25th on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
Little bit odd to go after the number one pick already, but when you've got your money, I guess you can do whatever you want. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. From superchargers, exhaust kits, and more, eBay Motors has over 122 million parts to keep your ride or die alive. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home that win. Keep your ride or die alive. ebaymotors.com, eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Joseph, Jalen Johnson, who recently got a big-time contract with the Chicago Bears, was on Up and Adams, of course, Kay Adams' show over on FanDuel TV. And this was just odd. Odd would be the word I would use when we're talking about this situation. He came out and had the following to say regarding Caleb Williams and what he needs to do when he gets to the NFL.
You just humble yourself coming in the building. I feel like it's one of those things where it's like you can't, like you said, you can't bring that Hollywood stuff into the building, especially now with guys who play this game. I feel like at a high level for consecutive years in the league. It's just something that guys like myself, guys like Jermaine, TJ, I mean, just the vets now, Keenan Allen. I mean, you just adding certain guys in the locker room. I feel like we're going to see through, and it's like, nah, that what you did in college, the Hollywood, it's like, nah, that you got to prove yourself. That stuff like that doesn't matter. But I feel like, so you got to get to know him, too. I think it's a fine line between trying to prove a point to him, but also getting to know him. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, we want him to be the absolute best he can be.
That feels a little bit strange to use the word Hollywood. How many times in there? Felt like four times in the span of about 35 seconds, as if Jalen Johnson is already assuming that Caleb Williams is going to come in with not the proper attitude and perhaps being a little too arrogant.
Part of me wonders, does this have anything to do with Justin Fields no longer being there? The idea that, and we've heard this from several people, Justin Fields was really well-liked in that locker room.
Yeah.
And the Bears and the way they handled that situation, I don't think there are a lot of people looking at that saying, Chicago really handled this well. They did this really well. I think most people look at the Bears and say, you did what you needed to do, but you drafted the kid, you never really did a whole lot to put him in a position to succeed, and then the chance you had to bail on him, you bailed on him, and you bailed on him for a six-round pick. Like, if they had brought back a first-round pick, players in that locker room can say, okay, Justin's moving on, we're going to miss him, but we got something good. They're looking at this saying, we got a six-round pick for a guy we really liked that plays a premium position? Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So I wonder if that's going to be something Caleb Williams is going to have to overcome in that locker room. He's taking over for a very well-liked player, but if you come in and you start winning football games early, all that's going to be forgotten pretty quick.
This is something we talked about the other day, when it does put a little bit more pressure on the player when you're not just coming in as the number one overall pick, but replacing a popular player. Yeah, absolutely. And it may play a part in it. I mean, is he talking about the fact that this is somebody that had national commercials in the NIL era? You know, he's doing commercials for Wendy's and all that stuff, and he played at USC. And, like, I never looked at anything with Caleb Williams this year and thought, oh, this guy's too Hollywood and he's too full of himself.
Maybe it's not that. Maybe it's not even so much Caleb Williams. Maybe it's just the idea, because we've seen things like this before. This isn't I'm not going to try to throw anyone under the bus, but if you remember, Baker Mayfield came out with a lot of hype. Baker Mayfield was in every commercial known to man,
yep.
And he produced a little bit on the field, but, you know, there was a bit of a rift in that locker room, if you believe some of the reports. Some of the guys really liked him, and then some of them didn't, and I think some of that had to do with Odell Beckham being very well liked in the locker room, and him and Baker Mayfield not necessarily being on the same page at times. So that sort of thing, when you come in, and it's a lot of money, and it's a lot of celebrity status, and it's a lot of shine, but you haven't produced yet, guys are going to look at you. They're going to expect a lot. And if you're not able to deliver, it's going to rub some people the wrong way who have been there putting in the work day in and day out. You know, Matt Leinart came out from USC, highly touted, went to Arizona. There were the reports that he wasn't necessarily putting all the work in, and that's how Kurt Warner was able to get past him and eventually take over that job and go on. So, I mean, there is that track record, USC, and USC doesn't do you any favors because they play into all that. They're selling all that glamour out there in Southern California. The sunshine, the glitz, the high-level lifestyle. They're marketing that to younger players. So you might see this and say, all right, you were big time there, but this is very different. This is the National Football League. We are a team that is on the rise. We need everyone to buy in. So maybe it's just him railing more against the idea of it than the player. Because at the end of it, he does kind of say, you know, if he comes in and he does the work, you know, it's all going to work out fine.
Well, this was also interesting. Dan Orlovsky on Get Up talking about the situation with the Bears right now and how, frankly, fortuitous it is for Caleb Williams to be coming into it. Hit it.
We're talking about a situation where the skill group is clearly above average, and DJ Moore is at the pinnacle of that, and then Keenan Allen in his addition. So you have above average skill group, usually doesn't happen for a number one pick at quarterback. You have above average offensive line, usually doesn't happen for a number one pick at quarterback. And then you have above average defense, well above average. Last eight games of the season last year, this was the number one defense in the NFL. Justin Fields, his first 2 years, had the 30th ranked defense in the NFL. The addition of a player like DeAndre Swift. That's why this is the best situation a number one quarterback has gone into in at least 30 years.
Well, I mean, that's a big number to throw out there, but I understand where Dan's coming from. And why would he say that? Well, it's because it's not like the Bears earned the number one pick. They traded for it for a team that was absolutely awful, and they did win seven games last year.
No lies told. I can't speak to whether or not it's the best in the last 30 years because that would require a lot of research. And quite frankly, I'm very into what's going on in March Madness right now.
Yeah.
So Orlovsky, I'll let you go ahead and throw that out there. But no lies told. I mean, is this not what I was trying to say 2 weeks ago when I said the team's going to go to the playoffs?
It's exactly that.
It's not about trying to get people all riled up. There's a lot of evidence as to why you should believe this team has a lot of potential next year. We're just so bogged down in the Justin Fields story for so long, we're not seeing any of the other stuff, which is the quality defense, which is the upgrade at running back, the upgrade at wide receiver, the upgrades along the offensive line. Here comes a highly touted prospect who could play the quarterback position well. You don't need Caleb Williams to be an absolute star this coming season to go to the playoffs in the NFC. If he's able to protect the football, play competent, and lean on a defense that could be top five, most certainly should be top 10, you're going to be in a spot where you're going to challenge for a playoff spot. That's just the fact of the matter. There are a lot of teams out there in the NFC that aren't very good. You're going to have a real-world opportunity to get something done here with everything you've done with this roster. But the coaches and the players have to take what they've got on paper right now, and they have to put it on the field. Very optimistic on the Chicago Bears next season. It's going to get to a point where it's so saturated on the Bears, I'm probably going to end up bailing in August because everyone's going to end up having this opinion.
Well, let's talk about what just happened here, too. Dan pretty much took your take.
That is not me.
And took credit for himself.
No. I see Orlovsky here quite a bit. I am not going down that line. That is a Chris Carlin take.
Yeah. I'm just...
pretty sure Orlovsky can evaluate football without listening to what I have to say about it.
I understand, but listen.
The man's got a great tan, by the way. Back from Mexico. Looks fantastic. Saw him yesterday. Just fantastic.
I was really wondering, how is Dan's skin tone doing these days? Is he getting enough sun? Is he getting enough vitamin D?
I'm so jealous of everybody who's got some color these days because I've got none. I used to always have a nice, decent base when I was in Vegas. I got nothing now. Very pasty. Yeah. Very, very just unappealing. So when someone comes back from vacation, I notice and I compliment.
Welcome back home to the Northeast.
Yeah.
Where the sun is a rumor. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. So the point of that entire segment, Dan, stop stealing cake sticks.
Appreciate it. He's kidding.
MLB season opened in South Korea on Wednesday. Opening day, though, not great for another reason. That's next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
NCAA Tournament Update.
And as the horn goes off, Michigan State with the Izzos at the sideline takes a victory 69-51 over Mississippi State here in Charlotte. 39 minutes of dominance and a final minute motion.
I jumped it there a little bit. That was your 8-9 game. Michigan State, 69-51. The Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. Joseph, we've got other games going on right now. We've got Duquesne, BYU, Akron, Creighton, Long Beach State, Arizona. What do we got going on, brother?
Duquesne, BYU coming down to the wire here. About 6:06 to go. BYU on the stripe, down 3. Makes the free throw, now down 2. As we look our way around, Creighton and Akron are at the half. The Zips have been feisty. They trail Creighton by 5, 39-34. And then Arizona has a 2-point lead over Long Beach right now, 24-22, 6.5 to go in the first half. Arizona has been very sloppy. They're turning it around, but very sloppy. 6 missed layups already so far.
Oof, let's go. We got them winning the whole thing.
Layups not exactly known as a high, a low percentage shot. Just for anyone wondering why, is if it's common to miss 6 layups in the first half.
Excellent point. Great analysis. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. You heard Christine talk about it a moment ago. The story around Shohei Ohtani. His interpreter, Ipe Mizuzara, was fired earlier this week after $4.5 million was shown to have been transferred between Ohtani and a California bookmaker. There were a couple of different versions of this story. Tisha Thompson, ESPN investigative reporter, was on Greeny earlier, and she laid out some of what happened. She had a 90-minute interview that was set up by Ohtani's people with Ipe Mizuzara, who was the interpreter, and here is what he told her.
This is what Mizuzara said to me on Tuesday night before the game, that Ohtani had offered to pay his debts and that Mizuzara explained to Ohtani how to wire the money. It was Ohtani who had logged into his computer and had sent the wire transfers at Mizuzara's direction based on instructions Mizuzara had been given to pay back the debt.
Okay, So Ohtani himself wired the money. But then, Joe, it starts to get a little bizarre. $4.5 million of a credit line that's given to an interpreter?
So I'm going to start with this. And if there are people that don't understand this, it's kind of for you. I'm sure other people may have been through this process, especially if you've bought a home or something. Do you have any idea how difficult it is to send a bank wire for $4.5 million from someone else's account without that person having any knowledge?
To be fair, to be clear,
it's not a text message, Carl.
No, and they broke them up into $500,000 wires, but still.
Okay, so let me restart. Do you know how hard it is to send $500,000 wires from an account that isn't yours? It's not a text message. It's not one of these things where they send a verification code to your phone and you hit a button and everything goes through.
So it's not Venmo.
I'm trying to buy a house right now. The bank, the documents, the phone calls, everything that goes into just verifying some slap named Joe Fortenball is actually the slap named Joe Fortenball who's putting some money down to try to buy a home. Like, I can't tell you how many checks and balances I have to go through, and that's for my protection. It's for the bank's protection. It's for everyone's protection. But somehow in this case, Ohtani's interpreter, keep this in mind, not his financial advisor or his accountant who might have access to these accounts. It is his interpreter who somehow was able to send $500,000 on 5 separate occasions via a wire transfer without Ohtani's knowledge. Somebody there has failed significantly in their job at the bank or these institutions, financial institutions, if that actually happened to that extent.
So initially, he says that it was Ohtani who sent them, and then he backs off that story completely, and Ohtani's lawyers put out a thing that said there's been a massive theft involved here. So it is odd that first Ohtani's people set up the interview for this guy, and then a day later, they completely back off of everything.
Have we gotten any reason as to why the story completely changed? Or is he no longer talking? After the 90-minute interview in which he said a bunch of things that were incriminating, then flipped the story completely, do we have a reason why the story was flipped?
I wouldn't say we have a reason, but let's listen to a little bit more of Tisha Thompson, who at least explains how this kind of happened, and Ms. Zuzara coming back and saying what he said after the fact.
I start making a lot of phone calls. Our people start making a lot of phone calls at ESPN. And of course, one of the people I call is the Sahara, who I say to him, did you lie to me last night? And he says, yes. And I said, did Ohtani know about your gambling debts? And he tells me through a series of questions that I ask him, no, Ohtani didn't know about the debts. And no, Ohtani did not pay them back. But Ohtani's name is on those bank wire transfers.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I love this. So to be clear, you guys are considered family, a brotherhood, as people have said, how close you two are.
Yeah.
And he's going to spend the $4.5 million to bail you out. But you went out and went out of your way to lie and make him look awful in the original interview. The guy bailed. That's what happened here. You went out of your way to burn the guy who's your brother who bailed you out of this situation.
Look,
so fun. This is hilarious to me.
This is just, this looks in every single way. It appears like a really badly planned cover up, but who knows for sure. All I know is that a bookmaker in California told other people Ohtani was a client, but it was just to, you know, build up his business, so to speak. But Ohtani's name is on the wires.
Well, I mean, there's no bookmaker on earth who's going to give you a $4.5 million line of credit. Credit, mind you. Right now, people who sign up for some of these accounts, you have to put money down in order to make a bet, or they're not taking your wager. The illegal operations don't work like that. You get to play on credit. You end up establishing a relationship with one of these bookmakers. You talk out what you want your line of credit to be. Say maybe it's $5,000, and then you'll work out what's called a settlement number. You'll say to yourself, if you're up or down, I don't know, $1,500, every Sunday night when the week has completed, you're up over $1,500, he'll send you what you're up. If you're down over 1500, you'll send what you're down. If it's inside of that, say maybe you're down $600, you just roll it over to the next week. That's how this industry works, right? But you've got to establish the line of credit. And if you don't know each other that well, you're not going to have a $4.5 million line of credit in this industry. For a bookmaker to be comfortable allowing wagers of that size to get to a point where a guy's down $4.5 million, he has to have a pretty good sense that the guy can pay that off. Enter Shohei Ohtani, unless somehow, some way, it turns out this interpreter had proven he's got millions of dollars of his own money, which would beg the question then, why did you need Ohtani to pay it off for you?
Yeah, he doesn't have that money, and now Ohtani's saying they stole it. This is just not going, this is not going away. This is not going away. As much as baseball would want it to go away, as much as Ohtani would want to go away, want it to go away. You just heard the Dodgers wouldn't let reporters ask him about it after game two of the season in Seoul just a little while ago. Like, this is not going away, and it's just the story smells all over the place.
Big shout out to everyone at ESPN involved in the journalism here. This yep. is true, hardcore, old school investigative journalism. To everyone that was involved in this, this is excellent work. Coming across some information, digging, asking questions, setting up interviews, putting in the work, grinding day to day. Round of applause, because that's how you do the job. Fantastic work.
Tisha Thompson was the lead reporter on it. I know Paula Levine was involved in it as well. I mean, boy, this is something. This is something. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We've got all the latest from the NCAA tournament as games continue to tip off around the brackets, and a few more picks tonight on the way. Next, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
Let's play Drake minus one over Washington State. Drake, top 40 in free throws, top 40 in three-pointers, number one in the country in defensive rebounding. They got a legit stud in Tucker DeVries as well. Drake's an old, experienced roster, which I kind of like this time of year. A lot of these NIL guys transferring all over the place. Here's a team that has a lot of guys that have been together for a while. Washington State, 268 in free throws. That's big when you're talking about a point spread of one in what could be a very tightly contested game. Pizza money number three, Drake minus one over Washington State.
All right, NCAA tournament update. Hit it.
NCAA tournament update.
Okay, we've got one final so far today. Michigan State, the 9 seed in the West, beats Mississippi State, the 8 seed, 69-51. All those who were very high on Mississippi State, myself included, out the door. Out the window. Out altogether.
Sayonara.
Adios. Other games that are underway. We've got three other games going on right now, Joseph. Let's start Duquesne BYU. That's a tight one late.
Duquesne up 63-60, missed the second end of two free throws, but BYU, in what has been reminiscent of their entire day, couldn't secure the rebound. So Duquesne still has the ball, up three, less than a minute to play. That'd be a big upset. BYU was laying about 9.5. Long Beach State 35, Arizona 41. So down 6 to Arizona, giving them the business in that game. And then just back from the half, about 16 minutes to go, Creighton 50, Akron 42.
Okay. All right. Arizona maybe starting to come back and wake up a little bit. Just tipped this second, Carolina and Wagner just tipped. Carolina off to a 2-0 start.
Winner gets Tom Izzo. So North Carolina versus Tom Izzo is an intriguing round of 32 matchup, assuming the Tar Heels get by Wagner here.
That's what they love. That's what they absolutely love. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Couple of the other games later today. Let's just get into some of the ones that have intrigue for us. I think certainly Texas Tech, NC State has some intrigue for us. One that you made a pick on, but is not an official Pizza Money pick. We've got Kansas and Samford later on tonight. Samford is, 7.5-point dogs in that game.
Yeah.
Now, remember, Kevin McCullough, out of that game, he was the leading scorer in the Big 12 this year. But Hunter Dickinson is playing. He had a dislocated shoulder that he got in the regular season finale. But he is out there playing for Kansas tonight. Going to be very interesting to see what Kansas looks like without McCullough here.
Money on Samford early, money on Samford often. This game is being played in Salt Lake City, elevation of 4,200 feet. Kansas doesn't have a deep bench. It's certainly not even close to as deep as it is when they're at full strength because they're down McCullough, and they have been very poor on the road this season. Enter Samford, who plays a really up-tempo, aggressive style. They rely heavily on their bench, a very deep team. That game could be a lot tighter than people expect. Definite upset alert for the Jayhawks today.
We got Gonzaga later on against McNeese State. We got Kentucky playing today. We got Texas, Colorado State. Colorado State, a team that you were very high on the other night in the play-in.
Colorado. Colorado. We picked both of them. Colorado's the team.
No, you picked Colorado State the other night. I'm sorry.
Yeah, very high on Colorado. Liked Colorado State the other night. Good matchup against Texas. Money coming in on Colorado State there. Texas opened up as a 3-point favorite. Money came in and knocked it down to 2.5. Colorado State getting hot at the right time. Maybe not a whole lot of faith in Texas, but coming out of the Big 12, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. People have viewed them as the best conference in all the land this year. So as these teams start to roll out, one of the first ones, BYU, looks like they're going down 5 with about half a minute to go. That's not a good look for the Big 12.
Illinois plays later. Of course, they won the Big 10 tournament. Joe, saw them earlier in the year a couple of times. I have to tell you, they were not playing as great before the Big Ten tournament, but they were winning games. They lost a tough one at Penn State. I thought Illinois earlier in the year was as talented as a team as you would find. I think they have started to find it a little bit here. And I'm very curious. You have used the Ken Palm analytics, so to speak. Explain to people what that is and how Illinois is not part of it.
21 of the 20 of the last 22 champions, 21 of the last 22 have found themselves in two categories. Category number one, top 25 in offensive efficiency, according to Ken Palm. Not too complex. Top 25 in offense. Category number two, if you take your offensive efficiency ranking, say it's fourth overall, and your defensive efficiency ranking, say that's fourth overall, if you add them together, which would give you 8, if that number is less than 50, boom. Those are the two criteria that have produced 21 of the last 22 NCAA champions. 9 teams hit that category this year. Illinois does not. And as I bring them up right now, I'm going to tell you why. Defense, 92nd in the country. The offense is certainly as good as anybody. They're number 2 overall. But you add 2 with 92, that gives you 94, and they're not inside the metric. Could be proven wrong, but remember their draw. They would get Iowa State relatively early, and if they survive that, you have to get through the winner of UConn and Auburn, which is most likely what's going to happen in the top end of the bracket. Very difficult for a team like Illinois, but they do, to your point, Carlin, have a very high ceiling.
87 points they gave up, Joe, in each of the last two games of the tournament, even though they won it. In other words, they won 98-87 over Nebraska, 93-87 over Wisconsin. Those are late 90s NBA scores right there.
Yeah. It's a good way to put it.
Yeah. So that's something that certainly bears watching. This Duquesne game, give me a quick update where we are. You are about 40 seconds ahead of me because I am on the internet, so to speak, watching. What do we got?
67-62 Duquesne, 12 seconds to go. BYU has the ball, but look, you play basketball like this, you deserve to lose.
And
there's,
you know what,
nothing to point to other than the fact that Duquesne came out ready to play hard and BYU couldn't figure anything out. They got pushed around for the majority of this game. They got pushed up and down the court, and that late surge was too little too late.
So the Duquesne Dukes, the 11th seed, about to take down the 6th seed. And if you didn't know, Duquesne is coached by Keith Dambrot, who coached LeBron James at St. Vincent St. Mary's High School for 2 years. So LeBron shipped the team all new kicks. They all got new shoes yesterday. Pretty cool move by LeBron.
They're colorful, too, because if you see them out on the court, some guys are in orange, some guys are in blue. Good, yeah, that's actually very cool by LeBron. And it's not like LeBron played for this guy 4 years ago. LeBron was in high school when I was in college. That was a different millennium.
Yeah. I mean, just think that's a very interesting part of this story. So this is where we are. Duquesne is about to advance in the East region, the number 11 seed in the East. Wow. Duquesne moving on. We see some bad basketball this first day or two of the tournament, for sure. And these games look bad early, but BYU, holy cow, BYU is a team that's supposed to be hoisting threes all over the place. And, Joe, today, BYU from three is 7 of 23, 30%.
It's crazy, too, because they were cold from three for the final, I think it was 7 games of their season. So they were shooting somewhere well below their average. Law of statistics, law of averages would tell you at some point they were going to heat back up, but they generate 41% of their offense from three-point range. That's number 2 in the country. They live and die by the three. They couldn't hit threes today. They couldn't rebound. They got pushed around, like I said. The credit, we're focusing on the negative with BYU. Duquesne deserves all the credit in the world. They came in and stuck it to this team from start to finish.
So we're locked in on all the games the rest of the day. We got them all tomorrow as well. I like it. Lots of action, Joe. ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Carlin vs. Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Carlin vs. Joe weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Carlin vs. Joe podcast.